Chapter 5. Holmes Gets to Work.
Now, Watson,
said Holmes,
we've got half an hour to find out what happened. So, how did these people come and go? The door hasn't been opened since last night. Let's look at the window. The window is locked on the inside. Let's open it. Nothing to climb up. The roof is too far away. But a man did come in by the window last night. Here's a footprint. And here is a round muddy mark. And here. And here by the table. See, Watson? It all becomes clear.
I looked at the round marks. That's not a footprint, I said.
No. It's the mark made by a wooden leg,
he said. The wooden-legged man.
Exactly. But there has been someone else here, a very efficient partner. Look out of the window. Is it possible to climb that wall, Watson?
I looked out. Impossible, I said. It's 60 feet, and there's nowhere to stand.
Without help, it's impossible. But if there was someone in this room who drops a rope down from the window, like that rope over there, then I think even a wooden-legged man could climb up. Then he can leave the same way, and the person in the room simply pulls the rope up, closes and locks the window. He gets out the same way he came in. Look at the end of the rope. There are marks of blood on it where the wooden-legged man took the skin from his hands when he went down.
Yes, but what about this mysterious partner? I asked. How did he get into the room? The door is locked, and you can't get to the window without help. Did he come down the chimney?
No,
said Holmes.
It's too small. I'd already thought of that.
Well, how then?
Think, Watson. He didn't come through the door, the window, or the chimney. There's nowhere for him to hide in the room. So what's left?
He came through the hole in the ceiling, I cried.
Of course he did,
said Holmes.
There's no other way. Now, let's go up through the hole and have a look in the room where the treasure was hidden.
The room was very small. There was no furniture, but a lot of dust. Holmes found a trapdoor that opened onto the roof of the house.
This is how the partner, let's call him Number One, entered. Let's see if he has left any more clues.
Holmes examined the floor. I saw a look of surprise on his face. I looked down. The floor was covered in footprints of a naked foot. They were very clear, but they were half the size of an ordinary footprint. Holmes, I whispered, has a child done this terrible thing?
I was confused for a minute, but it can be explained. There's nothing more to be learned here. Let's go down again.
I asked him what he thought about the small footprints.
Watson, try to think of an answer for yourself. You know how I work. Try it yourself and we can compare results,
he said impatiently. I can't think of anything, I answered.
It'll become clear soon,
he said.
I want to have a last look at this room now.
He got out his magnifying glass and went carefully around the room, talking to himself. Finally, he stopped.
We won't have any trouble now,
he said.
Number One has stepped in the tower. You can see his small footprint here. This container was knocked over, and the tower has leaked out.
And so? I asked, still confused.
We can find him,
said Holmes.
I know a dog that can follow a smell anywhere, especially one as strong as tar.
We heard some noise. The police had arrived.
Before they get up here,
said Holmes,
just feel the arm of the dead man. What do you think?
I touched the arm of the dead man. The muscles were extremely hard. This is more than the usual rigor mortis. It's from the poison. That's why his face has that strange smile on it.
Exactly,
said Holmes.
The poison from the dart. Now, with all this information, you can begin to understand,
he said. As he was speaking, the police came into the room. One of them was a very fat, red-faced man.
Well, well,
he said, looking at the body.
But who are you?
You must remember me, Mr. Athelney Jones,
said Holmes, quietly.
Of course I do. It's Sherlock Holmes,
he said.
You helped in that case at Bishopsgate, but you must admit it was more luck than your skill.
It was just some very simple reasoning,
said Holmes.
Oh, don't be embarrassed to admit it. How lucky that I was out at Norwood investigating another case. I was at the station when the message arrived. What do you think the man died of?
Oh, this is hardly a case for me to investigate,
replied Holmes dryly.
No, but I can't deny that you sometimes do get it right. So what do you think has happened here, Holmes?
Said Mr. Jones.
Door locked, jewels gone. Ha! I've got it. The brother died in a fit, and Thaddeus Sholto walked off with the treasure. How about that?
And the dead man got up and locked the door from the inside?
Said Holmes.
No, that can't be right.
Mr. Athelney Jones continued talking to himself, looking around the room. He even went up into the room above, which was not easy for a man his size. Eventually, he called to the policeman outside the room.
Ask Mr. Sholto to come in,
he said.
Mr. Sholto, I must tell you that anything you say will be used against you. I'm arresting you for being involved in the death of your brother.
I knew it,
said poor Mr. Sholto.
Don't worry, Mr. Sholto,
said Holmes.
I promise you, I can prove who really killed your brother.
Don't promise too much, Mr. Holmes,
said Athelney Jones.
It might be harder than you think.
Well, Mr. Jones, I'll tell you the name and description of one of the two people who were in this room last night. His name is Jonathan Small. He has a wooden leg. He is middle-aged, sunburnt, and has been in prison. The other man is a rather unusual person. I hope that I will be able to bring them both to justice soon. Let's go, Watson.
Athelney Jones looked shocked. On the stairs, I told Holmes that it was time to take Miss Morstan home. He agreed.
When you have taken Miss Morstan home, I want you to go to Pinchin Lane,
he said.
The third house on the right belongs to Mr. Sherman. Tell him that I need to borrow Toby. Bring Toby back here in the cab with you.
Toby is a dog? I asked.
Yes, he has the most powerful nose in London,
said Holmes.
While you are away, I'll see what Mrs. Burnstone can tell me.